This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, December 21st, 2023. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the back up and running ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com. That's right. We were down for a little bit. Now we are back up full strength, full speed ahead into 2024. That is the ChairShot Radio Network. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters that we've got on this show, starting with Bucky's tag team partner, a man hailing from Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you guys?
Doing all right this weekend, man. I'm this close to vacation. I've already started. I'm actually on pre-vacation. I'm supposed to show up for 4 hours. I'm supposed to show up for 4 hours tomorrow. I plan on being there. I don't know how effective I'm going to be. I don't know how much I'm actually going to do. Actually, I'll probably end up being busy because I'm down one to start off with because I had one of my girls ask for the day off. But whatever happens tomorrow happens, man. It's just going to be like tonight. We're calling it in the ring here tonight. I'm going to call it in the ring at work. I don't care. I'm on vacation for 10 days after that. From the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth. He is the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, all right. Good to be here. And look, so for us in the federal government, next week is where basically don't ask anybody to do anything. the reason I'm saying, because between the week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day is basically, people using up the last or whatever leave they may have left over. And, man, yeah, it's just there's so many people out that you can't get anything finished. If just one person there that can work on something, the other person there to do their part more than likely isn't there. And, you know, people got kids out of school all week also, so they take that week off. So on the one hand, you can almost forget getting anything done. On the other hand, if you are working that week, nobody bothers you. So
that's so nice. I love on the days when nobody bothers me and I actually get shit done. So yeah. Question for, are you taking any time off next week or are you just
just maybe like a day or two here or there. I don't have anything planned.
Yeah.
But I do have some use or lose leave that I gotta use before like January 15th, I think. So I am just going to, take a day or two here or there.
So your leave runs calendar year, January to December, or?
No, it runs like, it's really weird. It runs like from some like middle of January to middle of January. I have no idea why.
So it's like mine's on the hire date, and my hire date was July 19th. So at July 19th, I can carry over 40 hours, but anything other than that is use or lose.
Okay. So, so with us, you can, at the end of the leave year, if you have more than 240 hours, because you accumulate leave every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you don't use much of it, it just keeps adding up and adding up. So at the end of each leave year, if you have more than 240, then you lose it. So everybody is everybody who has more than 240 is scrambling. And then, and what happens a lot of times is, so now if you have kids, you never have use or lose because you use it all up all the time.
Yeah. When you got kids, when you have kids, you guys who don't know, have kids, you don't know about all that. Your kids will eat through your vacation time in a hurry.
Yes. Because that whole thing about, especially when they're in daycare and you got to pick them up on time.
Yep.
Because.
Got to pick them up on time. Or if they come in with like 100.3 fever, yeah, they will send them home.
Yes. And, yeah, picking your kids up from daycare is like, it's like owing money to Jabba the Hutt. Okay. Okay. it's just not good.
Okay. No, it's not.
Cause, I mean, because they will just look at you like, dude, what the hell is your problem?
Even you're on hard time now, pal.
Yeah,
you're on the clock.
Even if you have good kids, right? Because they don't want to set any precedent, right? Yeah. But yeah, and so, but then when your kids get older and you're not doing that, like, you know, if you're not doing that as much, and like my kids are, one's in eighth grade, the other one's in high school. So there's, you know, don't have to pick them up that much like that, you know, from anywhere. And then also because we're working at home so much now, yeah, I don't have to race. You know, you don't have to leave the office to go catch the subway to make sure you're back up here on time.
Right.
So now I'm like piling up leave. So now, you know, so the past couple of years I've been, you know, I've had some use or lose to use, so I've been using it. So
yeah, I was about to say, as long as I've known you, you don't take a whole lot of vacation time.
Well,
like,
yeah.
I've known you to take like a day here, a day, like to go take your mom to appointments or, you know, other personal things, but like an actual vacation in the 3+ years that I've been working with you, I've never once heard you talk about like an extended vacation. Like, okay. Jason, I mean, Jason's like vacation Barbie.
No, I'm saying I was with him on his last
vacation. On his last vacation, you and Rob got together and went to a WWE show.
Yeah. And so, you know, for me, well, because now, I mean, especially since like the pandemic and, you know, and we work at home so much anyway, like, you know, just the need to just, oh, I need to take a day off. That just, you know, isn't there like it was at one time. So
yeah.
I don't feel the, you know, the need to, or I need to get up out of here for a while. Like, I, you know, like that just need just isn't there like it used to be.
Yeah.
See, Rob, this dead week is when all the black budget guys come out of the woodwork and this is when they use the copy machines.
Now, see, now back in the day. Yeah, exactly. Now, yeah. I mean, back in the day when we all worked in the office. Oh yeah, this was like if you had some stuff that you wanted to use the office. Yeah, if you have some side projects, so to speak, that might require using the office copier or something.
I was gonna say I was only half joking, man.
No, he's pretty serious. He's only half joking, but he's damn serious.
Oh right. Man, let me tell you, because in the past there were times where, like, some people just didn't quite know how to. Well, there's no proper way to do it, but like, right, if you copy five things at the copying machine, nobody cares.
Right.
If you're copying a whole like seminar booklet at the copying machine,
there's a decorum to this.
Yeah, or if
you're using the Cat9 printer or whatever.
Yeah. It is. Or, you know, if you sell real estate on the side and you make the occasional phone call from the office phone, it's not a big deal. If you're running your whole real estate business from the office, it's a problem. And in the past, there have been people who ran their whole real estate business from the office, and a few of them
federal government's dime.
And
And, you know what? I got to respect the hustle, man. Running your honestly, side hustle on government time is an elite level.
The problem is, though, the problem is that the people who do that, they always get busted eventually.
They're not smart enough to get away with it.
Which is why I tell you when people talk about like tinfoil hat government conspiracies, I always tell you guys, the people who are smart enough to do it and get away with it are not willing. And the people who are willing to do it are not smart enough to get away with it.
And apparently the call is coming from inside the house.
And so, yeah, I mean, people get busted doing, sometimes it's just funny. It's like, dude, what were you thinking? like, dude, did you think they wouldn't come on? Now, did you think they wouldn't catch you? Like, dude, like, you came in on Friday night at 9 o'clock and you printed out a bunch of club flyers. Nobody's here at Friday at 9 o'clock. Did you not think that the little log would not show you coming in on Friday at 9 o'clock?
Who printed out 353 flyers at 9:43 p.m.
on a Friday?
When you wave your key fob in front of about 12 things to get to the printer, and then probably wave your key fob to use the printer
at 9:30 on a Friday.
Right. Did you think you were leaving a little bit of a trail there, pal?
Right. And not only that, but
you breadcrumbs, you left the whole pack of cookies on the floor.
I mean, right. Yeah.
Sign. So, thanks for the cookies. Love Dave or whoever.
Yeah, and so like those are the type of people who engage in government waste and they always get caught. Okay.
Amazing. That's great. Okay. Well, a little inside baseball here with Rob.
Yeah, which is why, again, like you guys, you don't need to worry about the tinfoil hat conspiracy stuff. And you don't really need to worry about government waste because, the people who really do engage in government waste, they're really stupid and they get caught. Okay. Go ahead.
Dude, speaking of the senators and congressmen, I look at half of them and I go, damn, they could be up to some seriously nasty shit because they're like smart, sharp, in deep, blah, 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 on both sides of the aisle. And then you look at the other half, and I'm being generous, and you go, oh, they can't find, and again, I'll be both sides of the aisle here, they can't find their way out of a wet paper bag.
Right.
So I'm like, these two sides of it have to get along in order for any of these tinfoil hatty things to really get off the ground, guys. And I promise, it's just not going to happen.
Right, exactly. Which is why, like, when people talk about stuff like the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
Yes, Oswald acted alone. You know why? Because there's no way he could get 10 other guys to go along with him and not get busted. Okay?
Yeah.
That's all right.
I'm of the mindset that CIA agents
robbed. They were CIA agents, Rob. Come on.
Okay.
All right. So Jason just spent an entire weekend with his lovely wife in New York City. Looked like an amazing trip. He hit a lot of my old stomping ground spots when I used to live in New York. But Christmas week, between Christmas and New Year's, are you guys taking any time off or are you going to work?
She is on time off right now. She's in the kitchen making Christmas cookies and doing that whole thing right now. So she had the whole, use it or lose it time off, get under your threshold. So she just was like, all right, well, I'm just going to use a few days, spend some time with her mom, spend time here, spend time with the dog. So she's just been chilling that. But no, I work up until Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, my office pays us for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And if those fall on a weekend, we get paid for the Friday before and the Monday after off. With Christmas Day falling on a Monday, my boss kind of looked at it this way. They're like, okay, Christmas Eve is on a Sunday, so we can do one of two things. We can either pay them for Friday, which is only a half day, or we can pay them for a full day and give them Tuesday off as well, which is what they did this year. So we're getting paid two full days for Christmas and Christmas Eve, which is pretty damn generous. And then I'm looking at it, there's Wednesday, Thursday, and half day Friday, and I've got two of my three doctors on vacation that week. I'm like, you know what? I haven't taken a week off in the holidays in probably a decade.
Like, I usually leave that to my employees with kids. You know, I even when my kids were little, I was like, you know what? I can take Christmas Day off and spend that. Let other people with families take their time around Christmas. So this year, selfishly, I was like, no, I never take this time, like the whole block of time. I went ahead and put in for the additional 2.5 days and got it. So I'm looking forward to just 10 days. We're going to spend a little bit of time with Tina's family. And then I plan on spending 6 days of sitting on my ass, like not even remotely guilty for it. Looking forward to it. Going to be a good time. Anyway, as I finish off the introductions, I am hailing from the Pod Cave, the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, where we remind you to always use your head. We went through a hell of an introduction there, but we are here tonight to talk wrestling. And for the first time in a while, we don't really have a solid topic. We're just going to kind of call it in the ring, and whatever comes out, comes out. But we are going to start the show off here a little bit with some therapy session here. We talked a little bit last week, injuries. We had a big question mark in the air as to exactly what was going on with Charlotte Flair. She took a horrible fall about a week or so ago on SmackDown wrestling Asuka. And all they said was, she's hurt. And that's all we knew for a week. And then she came out last week. Apparently the injury is very severe. It's a knee injury. She had almost the exact same knee injury that Seth Rollins had, you know, quite a number of years ago. And looks like Charlotte is obviously going to miss WrestleMania, going to be out for at least 9 months, which is horrible for her. But hitting closer to home, our resident genius, the Shoot Bear, is finding himself with his favorite wrestler, his queen, Charlotte, now on the shelf for 9 to 12 months. And, you know, he's feeling a certain way about it. And Jason and I are going to play therapists here and try and lift the big man up. First of all, horrible, all joking aside, horrible injury for Charlotte. I feel for her. I hope that, you know, she gets the care that she deserves, the care that she needs, and she gets on the road to recovery quick. As a wrestling fan, Rob, I feel this. Seth Rollins is my favorite wrestler. And when he went out with that knee injury, again, right before WrestleMania, he missed a WrestleMania because of it. It sucks, man.
We've all three had it.
Yeah, because Roman went out like with a fucking leukemia. Colossal.
Yeah, exactly.
We've all been hit with this. We've all been hit with something. So we all kind of reside in that universe. So, Rob, buddy, how you doing?
Well, now they said on TV, they said up to 9 months. And when Seth got injured, I looked at it, he actually got injured in October and he came back like in June.
Okay, so that's about on par.
Yeah, it sucks. And if you've ever listened to her or read her doing interviews, like, this is the time of year that she lives for, from like January through WrestleMania. So just from that standpoint, it sucks. And look, I know people say, well, they have all these other great people on the show. Just watch them.
It's different.
Yeah. Like, look, when I'm when your favorite team doesn't make the playoffs, yeah, you might watch some of the playoffs, but yeah, you might not care. And this is kind of January through beginning of April is basically the playoffs and the Super Bowl in WWE. When your favorite team isn't there, I mean, yeah, you might be a fan of the sport, and yeah, you might. Yeah, you might watch a little bit here and there, but it's not the same. It's not the same, and it doesn't. You know, you don't care how good the other players are or how good the other teams are. It's just not the same. And it sucks that it's because of an injury. Also, I mean, because she's been very fortunate with injuries. She hasn't, this is the first, like, serious, like, real injury that she's ever had.
And it's unfortunate because it wasn't, didn't it? My understanding is it was that corner move that she and Asuka were trying to do, and they just kind of like fell. Because a lot of people were trying to say she did it, because Charlotte takes a lot of heat for her moonsault without people understanding, one, how graceful it is, and two, where her initial training came from is how her moonsault translates, you know, with the acrobatics and everything like that. So a lot of people were saying, oh, she landed wrong with the moonsault. And it's like they were looking for a reason to talk shit about her moonsault. And it didn't even happen there. It didn't happen when she was performing a move. It happened when they were trying to set up to do something else, which I think almost stinks even more.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I about had it with people talking about her doing the moonsault.
It's exhausting.
Guys, no, okay.
We've had that discussion on this.
Yeah, we're not going to go down that road again.
No, it's just the only thing I'll say about that is that, like, this concern you have for her injuring herself doing a moonsault. Like, everybody who does a moonsault puts the same pressure on their knees and their ankles, and everybody does. Okay,
it's a high risk. That's why they call them high risk moves.
I mean, yes, and you know, I mean. And lots of people who have done moonsaults have gotten knee injuries, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know why you're so concerned about her doing it, but enough of that. It sucks. And again, I'm hoping she recovers, you know, sooner than later. Obviously, I did want to take some time to just show some appreciation for just what she did this year. Because, you know, people are always saying, well, you know, she takes her time off and she comes back and she just gets title shots and she just gets title shots. It's all she does is get title shots. And, you know, so this year, first of all, at the time she got injured, she had worked the most house shows out of any woman on the roster. Okay. This year, she took some time off after WrestleMania, yes. But when she was on the clock this year, she made every weekend. Okay. She started out this year. I mean, yes. So when she came back last year, December 30th, and just out of the blue, you know, well, Ronda Rousey didn't want to be women's champion anymore because she had other things she wanted to do. So, you know, the night that she came back, she thought she was just coming back to do TV, and they were like, well, no, we need you to do this tonight. Okay. And I know you're gonna say, well, she got to win the championship. What's so bad about that? Like, she had to turn baby, like, they had no creative plans for her, basically. They needed somebody to take the belt off of Ronda. And then they also turned her baby face with no plan, right? Now,
that's to us normies, that's basically like you're walking in expecting just another day at the office. And just immediately the door opens and it's Black Friday.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the shift she had to go through.
Yeah, and so
this is the profession, to put it in some sort of professional mindset, like, context.
You're coming in expecting to run the fry line, and they say, "Oh yeah, by the way, you're in charge of the restaurant today."
Yeah,
exactly.
And
oh well, by the way, you got to turn baby faced.
Yeah, right. You got to be nice to people.
Yeah,
yeah, you got to,
which is the worst part of the job,
also.
Yeah, and so, and like she said a million times in interviews that she prefers working heel. Okay. So yeah. She had to come in with no plan, you know, with no creative plan going forward. She had to switch roles. And she had been out for 8 months. So, which means whatever type of ring rust she had to get off, she had to get off the ring rust while being the defending women's champion.
Yeah.
And she had to go on the road immediately. And for those, like, 3 months that she was women's champion, by the way, and this is not to disparage any of these women, but she was wrestling Sonya Deville and Shayna Baszler and Shotzi mainly.
She was trying to elevate some other people.
So she had,
again, supposedly she doesn't do.
So she had to, you know, she had to call those matches. She had to lead, and because, you know, she had to lead all those ladies through those matches. She had to call those matches. She had to do it as a baby face. And because normally, look, the women's title feuds they do on house shows, it's usually big name against big name. It's, you know, and they might throw somebody else in there to take the pin, right? And so it might be, you know, Bianca versus Bailey versus, you know, Sonya Deville or something like that, or Bianca versus Becky versus Sonya Deville or something like that. She was going out there solo most of the time with Sonya or with Shayna, and had to just run that whole thing herself.
Just to jump in, DJ, in your experience, doesn't the typically if the heel runs the match?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, the heel calls the match in the ring.
Is there something about being the babyface that makes it more difficult? Like you can't hide your face as much or something? Like I don't want to get too literal about it, but that is kind of the deal.
It's kind of hard to explain. It's because obviously the heel's job is to make the babyface look good. And a lot of times the heel will take all the babyface's big moves. So as the heel, you've got to kind of feel out the crowd and figure out when you're working in the big spots, you know, when we're, you know, when to slap a rest hold, you know, things like that. You know, and it's a bit nuanced, and, you know, obviously that's not it's the exception, not the rule.
Sure. But so it sounds like, you know, okay, in addition, she was working from the harder angle, you know, being the baby face while trying to quarterback these matches.
Yeah, it's a little easier with WWE because they do, while I don't think they, WrestleMania 3, Macho Man, Ricky Steamboat call the entire match in the back, I think they do have a general idea working with their agents. Like, okay, this is what we want to do. You guys have got 7.5 minutes. We're going to start the match here. The midway is going to be here. And there's probably big spots. And again, the refs are part of this too now. I forget, what was it, Mike Chioda or something like that was on Chris Van Vliet, and he was talking about it, and he's like, sometimes they task the ref with calling spots, and with WWE, I'm sure they've got, at the time, there was Vince in Gorilla on the headset, okay, we need to do this, we need to do that, and, you know, people always complain about Vince feeding commentary their lines. I'm sure Vince was also in the ref's ear saying, okay, look, this is where we're at, this is what we need to be doing, and okay, let's take it home. So, you know, it's more complicated than an indie match where guys just go out and say, hey, let's just call it in the ring. But also you've got to have somebody in there who's strong enough that if things go sideways, you can call it in the ring. If what you talked about in the back just isn't working and you need to call an audible, you know, you need to be able to do that. And, you know, Charlotte spent that 3-month period with lesser experienced people coaching them through that and getting them through those matches and feuds.
And again, like those opponents you had, those, like they, you know, like Sonya and Shayna and Shotzi, they're normally, most of the time they're doing tag team matches or multi-woman matches. And so, but again, that was 3 months of having to do that without having, again, that's without having Becky or Bailey or Asuka or Bianca there. And so now, and those are women who are also, who are just not as important to the audience also. So you have to, you have to make the match important. and she was handed all that to do with no plan. I mean, they didn't have any plans for her, really. They decided they were going to do her and Rhea at WrestleMania. And then like for those 3 months up to that point, like basically, they told her who she was wrestling, and she had to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
And so when that's not easy, right? That's a lot to do, right? And if you look at who was on the SmackDown roster at the time, if not her, then who? She did that for 3 months, and then, you know, her and Rhea had the match at WrestleMania, and then when she came back again, she didn't miss a weekend. And she worked with all, you know, and then now later on in the year, yes, she got to work with Bailey and with Bianca and with Asuka and Io. So, but, and her and Io had only had they had a couple of matches back in 2020. And so this was the first time they'd done anything together since then. And so they had to go out there. And then like the last month or so, they were working singles matches. And, you know, so that's a lot. That's a big deal. That's a big task. And because she was there every weekend, you know, Bianca got to take some time off to go. I think she and her Mondez were doing the reality show or whatever. But like, she didn't have to be there. Right. Asuka took some time off. Didn't have to be there. Okay. She was there every weekend. And so, yeah, I'm bringing all this up just to say, because, you know, the narrative is just, well, she just comes in and she just gets title matches. And, you know, some people would have you think that that's literally that she comes in there and she works a pay-per-view match and she gets a title match and then she goes back home. Until
what I love about that discussion is that, to a degree, WWE now leans into that. And, you know, like, there have been pivotal moments in Charlotte's career where what you see on TV, and I'll just throw something out there, like, the big babyface has won. The big babyface is the champ, and she's holding up the belt, and she's rah, rah, rah. And Vince McMahon will come out and say, Charlotte Flair! And Charlotte comes out. And now the whole crowd is like, ah, fuck, Charlotte's going to win another one. And I think it's hilarious that WWE has now leaned into that. Because, like you've talked on this show a million times, Rob, there's now this panic amongst the IWC that if Charlotte gets worked into a match, or if she gets, you know, is a surprise entrance into a match, there is a chance that Charlotte Flair is walking out with whatever women's championship she's about to compete for. And I think that's a hilarious rib that WWE pulls on the internet wrestling community. I think it's funny.
Now, of course, the ironic thing was last year when she came back and beat Ronda, everybody was happy.
Well, yeah, and that's a whole other discussion that we're not going to get into.
But, you know, I wanted to bring all that up, just the fact that, you know, she does not get credit for working hard, basically.
Yeah.
People who believe that she comes in just when there's time to have a pay-per-view match, or when there's time to have a title match, and it's just that's all she does. And, you know, and so this year, I mean, again, she did more house when she got hurt. She had done more house show matches than any woman on the roster.
Yeah.
She had the second most matches of any woman on the roster, even though she'd been off for 2 months.
Yeah, second only to Io Sky.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there's also she gets raked over the coals for her character not changing, and I just can't believe that's something that people say after the last year. Like, when she came out with the new music and then this whole last run started, yeah, I don't think she wasn't suddenly, you know, Charlotte the hairstylist or something like that. Like, she wasn't just a drastically different character.
Ric Flair's been playing Ric Flair for 50 years.
Right, well, but also, like, I'll say she did. Like, she came out as, like, the final boss version of the queen. Like, it's not even confidence anymore. It's just knowledge that she's the best. It's just that she stepped into this final form, and seeing this run getting cut short right before WrestleMania is just, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Because, again, if you don't think that this Charlotte Flair is different, then, you don't watch. Awesome. End of discussion.
Because, listen, I mean, if you think that she is, if you go back to, you know, 2014 in NXT, and then 2015 when she first came to the main roster, and then 2016, and if you don't think she has changed in any of these years, that's ridiculous. That's just not true. It's ridiculous. It's people finding things, you know, it's. People got to come up with something.
It's inventing something to complain about.
Yeah,
it really is.
And this whole thing about, well, she needs to evolve her character,
because she doesn't come back in, like, you know, brand new gear, like different gear. Like, she comes back at the same. She wears the same style bodysuits, mostly the same style robes, et cetera, et cetera. And she doesn't, you know, she's not, like I said, she's not suddenly a firefighter. Like, and so people can't, you know, process, you know, subtle changes and, you know, changes in demeanor and mood and character and attitude.
Well, because most of these people don't understand nuance.
And also, right. I mean, look, Randy Orton plays the same, you know, with Randy Orton is just you know, who is he fighting? That's all that changes.
It's just, right. And how much fun and how funny is he allowed to be for this run? That's really it. It's like, okay, are we getting actual serious killer Randy or are we getting fun, happy killer Randy? That's it. You got what? So we just described like three, not even characters, just three moods of a character.
It's the three faces of Orton.
And that's but he's been the same guy for a very long time.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with
facets of it.
Well, it's just our boss.
And now he's HGH Orton, and we love him.
I mean, because look, our boss Greg DeMarco, he explained this once, like, okay, these people go through these drastic changes, it's because stuff wasn't working.
Yeah.
Like people don't decide, oh well, I'm gonna be different now. Well, no, I mean, like,
we went from the ringmaster to Stone Cold Steve Austin because the ringmaster as a character fucking sucked.
Yes, and it was not working.
It wasn't working for him. He knew it. They knew it.
If the ringmaster was working, we would have gotten 8 years of the ringmaster Steve Austin.
Pretty much.
Okay. Until he couldn't wrestle anymore.
Sounds terrible on paper.
Yeah. Or if the blue tights and the streamers, Rocky Maivia, had worked, that's what we would have gotten.
Yeah. Hugger Bailey wasn't working. Hugger babyface Bailey.
Hey, you know what? Big dog Roman Reigns. Hey, you know what, man? You can boo the shit out of us. As soon as they stop buying t-shirts, we'll figure something out. But the checks keep coming.
Right.
And, you know, that's, I mean, again, you know, when people do these radical changes, it's because something wasn't working. All right. Yeah. And look, at the end of the day, look, she's Ric Flair's daughter. You're not going to forget that. If she dyes her hair black and starts wearing three-piece suits to the ring, you're not going to forget that she's Ric Flair's daughter, people.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, you're not.
No.
Greg even said this about Brock Lesnar's daughter. Like, if she starts wrestling, she should be Brock Lesnar's daughter.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
She should pick up the torch
and run with it.
And it should be Suplex City in the women's division. And why not?
If you want to put your own spin on it later or want it down the road, go for it. But like, this is where you start.
And I'm sorry.
And you'll be fine.
And because I mean, Cody Rhodes is he's skinny dusty. Okay?
Yeah. At this point, he's skinny dusty.
He's doing the same thing.
Look, side road here. I want Cody to bring back the Midnight Rider gimmick just for the fucking hell of it. Just because I thought the Midnight Rider was cool as shit.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, he's having a bull rope match at Madison Square Garden, for crying out loud.
That's amazing.
With Shinsuke Nakamura, the bull rope match. Okay. I mean, but anyway, getting back to the topic here, just.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I said all about because, you know, I wanted to just to bring attention to what all she did this year. And it's not just showing up and getting title matches. And it's not just showing up and winning the title or whatever.
She was
not
fulfilling a necessary role.
Yeah. And so now, I mean, because now people want, because when people are talking about what are they going to do on the roster, they're only talking about WrestleMania. You know, well, who's Bianca going to wrestle now? There's a whole, again, there's that's one match,
right?
Yeah. There's a whole year of house show loops that are now that somebody else is going to, you know, that.
Yeah. Now they've got a pivot on a lot of areas now with Charlotte being out.
Yeah. And so now, you know what? Now other people won't get to take time off who maybe need it. They're going to have to go the whole year now.
Yeah.
Now, and of course, now the big kind of floating question now is, you know, will this necessitate the re-signing of one, you know, one Mercedes Moné now?
Well, let's use that to pivot slightly, because word went out between in the last 48 hours that not only Charlotte but Bailey both signed multi-year deals.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't even know what money was disclosed, if it was disclosed at all. But the streets are saying that Mercedes Moné is asking for more than what Charlotte got. And how they know this, I have no fucking clue, because I don't know what Charlotte's making. I think it's people pulling shit out of their ass.
Yeah.
But, Rob, you posted something on Twitter earlier. That's what she should be doing. If she is asking for, that's the whole point of this whole thing. That's why she left, aside from the creative differences. You're not going to leave, go out here, go on this big New Japan run, show up on the competition, I use that word loosely, show up on the other show's weekly episodic television show for an episode, and then call your old boss back and be like, hey, yeah, I'll come back for the same amount of money. That's not how contract negotiations work.
Well, no. And then, like, so if, okay, if LeBron James resigns today with the Los Angeles Lakers, if you know, 2 months from now, you know, Giannis is up to resign with the Bucks, he's going to ask for more money than LeBron got. Why? Just because it's 2 months later and the market is different, and that's just what it is. And it's not about what anybody deserves. It's not about, like, it's not a moral exercise, because I've seen some people making it, well, Sasha deserves more, so she should get more.
Side of that argument was, who does she think she is?
And Rob, and your either way, makes absolute, you know what? Sense,
unless you actually understand the NBA salary cap. But I'm with you guys. Like, her whole thing is money. So, you know, she's the boss. She's the CEO now. Ask for more money. The CEO makes the most money generally, right? Yeah, so that's what she should be doing. And know your worth.
Yeah, and
I don't understand. Yeah, I think it's laughable that we are even having this discussion as if anybody in the know could actually know that.
Right.
But we're talking about this, so let's talk about it. And yeah, all three of us are very much agreed. It might as well be a mindless mandate at this point. Get paid. Get your money.
Yeah, and if I'm sorry, if you think, look, I said Sasha should ask for more. And then Becky's up later this year. She should ask for more than whatever Sasha got. And then next year or the year after, whenever Bianca and Rhea are up, they should ask for more than what Becky gets this year. And then if, you know, things loop back around one more time for Becky and Charlotte and Bailey, they should ask for more than whatever Rhea and Bianca get a year or two from now. You keep asking for more because the company is making more and more money. And damn it, you've been out there for 10 years on the road, taking bumps, doing all this and doing all that and making appearances, doing all that. You should ask for as much as you can possibly get.
Hell yeah.
Well, and people forget there's still a sizable pay gap between most of the women and the men.
Yeah, because I can guarantee you, even now with whatever this big money that they're all supposed, that Charlotte and Bailey and Becky are going to all be getting, I can almost guarantee you can find a man on the roster who does not occupy the same level on the roster who is making the same money or more than they're going to be making.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, like, I mean, and this is not to disparage Dolph Ziggler, but Dolph Ziggler was famously making more money than pretty much all the women at one point. And not that he didn't deserve what he was getting, but I mean, they were getting paid so little. That's what it was. That's what the problem was.
And most of them were working more than he was.
And understand, like, you know, I mean, Becky and Charlotte and Bailey and we'll count Sasha in this. They've been there since 2015. If you think they were getting $1 million guarantees in 2015, hell no, they weren't.
Get league minimum.
Yeah. I mean, and so they're owed money for being underpaid for years.
There's an old adage, know your value, then add tax.
Yeah, and so we have no idea when any of them started making quote-unquote real money. Shoot, it may have just been in the last 2 years. We have no idea.
Yeah.
But we know when they first got there, they sure as hell weren't. So it's, you know what? They should all get, yes, they've all earned some big paychecks. And they've all earned as big a paycheck as they can possibly get. And that's the way these things work. Like you get as much as you possibly can get. And then next time around you ask for more. Okay. I mean, that's what it is.
Everybody wants a raise. Like I know every year I'd like to get a raise, you know, it doesn't happen every year, just unfortunately, but I'd like to get a raise. I'd like to go to my boss at the end of my annual year and say, look, I've been doing this for 12 months at this rate of pay. How about we renegotiate here? You know, that's just how life works. Every year we're supposed to make more money than we did the year before.
Yeah. And now
we should want to, at least.
Yeah, because bills ain't getting smaller. I
mean, especially in this economy.
Yeah. And so now, as far as them bringing Mercedes back, I bring her back for one match. If it's, you know, I mean, because people, if they're thinking, again, they're only thinking about WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And, like, no, you don't bring her back just for that one match, whatever that one match would be.
WWE wouldn't do that.
No.
Why would they reignite any fire she had? Like, and then just send her back out into the wild?
Well, I mean, but in terms, I'm thinking in terms of just plans. They wouldn't sign for one match, but if they didn't, but people who are talking about it are only thinking about that. Twitter or whatever.
Let's splinter off from that here a little bit. Part of the reason why she left to begin with was creative. She wasn't happy with the creative decisions that were going on, the direction that she was in. Creatively, look at the landscape of the WWE women's division as it is right now. Rhea Ripley is not dropping that championship anytime in the near future. And then you have some of the best women in the sport over on SmackDown. Like, you know, between Io and Kairi and, you know, when she's healthy, Charlotte. I mean, and you've got up-and-comers. You've got Shotzi now kind of elevated herself to upper mid-card. At some point, Liv Morgan's going to come back, and she has to factor in there somewhere. This comes back to who do we sit down for Sasha Banks? And creatively, you almost have to wipe somebody's slate clean and get them off the board to bring her back in, because you're not bringing her back in, as Rob likes to famously say, you're not bringing her back in just to wrestle matches. You know, you're bringing Mercedes / Sasha back in for a big role, which now means somebody got to sit because the field's awful crowded at the top, gents.
Yeah, and which is, you know, look, I'm always, you know, I never get as excited as some people do. Well, they need to sign this person. They need to call up that person. They need to bring this person back. I don't get all fired up about that because for that very reason, like, okay, but well, I mean, if they bring them back, fine, you know, but understand, you know, again, if they do bring back Mercedes, then yeah, I mean, if they bring her, I mean, there are people who are going to have to sit down. There are people, and Liv Morgan is actually the prime example of somebody who has moved up a bit in the past couple of years. And if Mercedes comes back and she's on the same show, sorry, folks.
Liv Morgan's moving back down. And I hate that because I love Liv. But when I line the two of them up, Sasha is a bigger name than Liv
Morgan. We don't need to relitigate our love for Liv on this show.
No, but also.
Because all three of us love Liv, right, Rob?
But that also applies to Raquel Rodriguez. That also applies to
Shotzi.
Yeah, I mean, Shotzi. Yes, and I mean that applies to anyone who has moved up a little bit in the past year or two. I mean, if Mercedes comes back, those girls are moving back down.
Yeah.
I mean, if damage control ever breaks up, then
yeah, I mean,
grab the life preservers, you know.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Because then there's going to be a major reshuffle of the deck.
Yeah, so that's the thing to think about now. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't want her to come back, but just understand, you know, if you've got some favorites in some other spots on the roster, There's,
I mean, bare minimum, we could just tell you, I'm sorry, guys, she's a championship contender. Period. Yeah. So, yeah, Sasha she goes to the top of the card.
Yes.
She shoots to the top. So, what does that do? That does the ripple, the trickle down.
Yeah.
So,
you can't have 12 women at the top of the card.
No.
12 people at the top of any main event card sounds great on paper. It does not work in practicality.
No, it's basically, it's like when you had, when the 49ers had Joe Montana and Steve Young.
Yeah.
And they wanted Joe to help Steve Young. And Joe was like, fuck that guy. Okay. Okay. And he was very clear about that.
All right.
You know, it's, and this goes, and this doesn't just go for the women's, this goes for the men's side also. Y'all want them to, I mean, y'all want them to sign Okada. Y'all want them to sign, y'all wanted them to get Jay White. Y'all wanted them to get, you know, Ospreay, right? Well, y'all wanted them to get all of these people. And, you know, y'all wanted them to get Hammerstone and Jacob Fatu and, you know, all of these names.
And do what with them?
Right. And then, you know, we all think Ricky Starks is coming. Everybody believes that Andrade is coming back as soon as his contract is up. So they're going to bring all of these people. Y'all want them to bring all of these people back or bring all of these people in. And then you want them to call up Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes. And guys, you know, yeah.
Rob is the math guy. And he'll be the first one to tell you the math ain't mathing.
Like, so it's better off for, you know, for Braun and Melo, it's better that off that Ospreay didn't come there.
Yes.
It's better off that if Okada does not come there. But they're okay, like as a fan, you know, you can't be chomping at the bit for Braun and Melo to come up and chomping at the bit for them to bring in Okada and Will Ospreay. And
I think if they bring in Okada, it's for a one and done WrestleMania payday. Like, we get him through WrestleMania and then he's done. I don't see them signing Okada to a deal that lasts more than a year.
Well, because I don't think he would sign for 3 years.
I don't think he would either.
Because
I think he would sign for one WrestleMania, maybe one Rumble, maybe the Big Four. Maybe you get Okada in for the Big Four and then he's done.
Yeah, because I mean, I could see it being similar to like
in for the Rumble, what, out for the at Survivor Series.
Like, remember how like Ronda's first go round, she was there for basically a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I could, because I mean, you do have to have time to introduce him to the audience and to get in all of that, but
you can do that from Rumble to Mania. You can make him a big deal between Rumble and Mania. It doesn't take too long to connect all the dots, and especially as good as WWE is at that. I mean, AJ was an international star, but he wasn't WWE famous, and they heated him up pretty quick. Like, hey, this is AJ Styles. These are his accolades. This is what this guy has done everywhere in the world. But here, now he's here to see what he can do. And I think you can do that with Okada very easily.
Probably. But if you're a WWE fan, and if, okay, if you want to see Braun and Melo get called up, and if you want to see Gunther get a main event run, if you want to see, you know, some other different people get chances to do this, that, or the other, then, you know, you can't get that and Okada and Will Ospreay and, you know, whoever else is out there. You know, like, you can't get all of that at the same time. And, you know, Andrade come back and Malakai Black come back, and like, you can't get all of those things right at this, you can't. And now look on the women's side. So Charlotte's resigned, Bayley's resigned, Becky's gonna resign. They're not all resigning to be jobbers, okay?
No, yeah,
guys. So unless Shane walks out at the end of Dynamite and says, I now own AEW, there's not enough TV time to go around for all the people you guys are talking about.
So
as much as I have a disdain for all things Tony Khan, AEW, let that never happen.
Yeah, and what, you know,
let Shane buy it?
Yeah. Now, if Shane buys it separate of Endeavor, no, WWE, whatever TKO is, if he, like, Shane gets a whole shitload of investors together and buys this on his own, you know, whatever, that's fine. But, right. No, I don't ever want to see that again because I don't want that for the AEW talent. As much as I may shit talk Tony Khan and say, yeah, I want to see, I'll watch AEW when it's on the Peacock or on the network or whatever it is. I play into the bit with that. For the workers, I don't want to see AEW close up shop. Like, I don't. I won't watch it just because I think their owner is a fucking idiot. But for the talent, I don't want that for them.
Yeah, and so it's just, again, there's only so much space. There's only so much time.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can't sign everyone from outside that you want them to sign. They can't bring everyone who was either, you know, released or who left. They can't bring all of them back. And they can't call up everybody you want them to call up from NXT. And it looks like, I mean, with the, you know, with these re-signings they're doing, it looks like they're committing to the people who've been there. And I can tell you, just for me looking at various data points, on the women's side, they absolutely need to do that. This entire, you know, women's revolution movement that started in 2015, it is entirely, yeah, I'd say entirely dependent on, look, on, it runs on King Kong versus Godzilla. And you need not just a couple of matches like that. You need King Kong versus Godzilla feuds.
Yeah.
That's what, and be honest, they didn't really do that this year. The closest thing was, you know, Becky and Trish, but Trish is somebody who has not wrestled full time since 2006. There are a couple of generations of fans for whom Trish Stratus is not, you know, somebody there that they saw wrestle.
Right.
So it's not, it wasn't the same thing, to be honest. But outside of, but every year.
Charlotte Flair, Godzilla in this analogy.
Here's the problem. We have a whole lot of Godzillas. There aren't enough Kongs.
Well, that's because Kong's a bum. I mean,
love shots you, fired. Love you, shots
Jay.
Fired.
You know, I love you, Jay. Love you, Jay. All right.
You know, we don't need any, you know, drunken deadbeat daddies. Right. You know,
but,
it's bad, bad.
Hitting
bad
the slot machines. Oh, he's not even here to defend himself. That poor guy is punching at air as he listens.
Down at Gone Bananas at 4 in the morning, running to the ATM for the fifth time.
Jay, we love you, brother.
But it's...
That's your boy.
It's very... Because, look, I mean, you know, it started with Becky, Charlotte, Sasha versus Nikki Bella, and then you had Charlotte versus Sasha, and then you had Alexa Bliss versus Sasha and Bayley, and you had Charlotte versus Bayley, and you had Charlotte versus Becky, and Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda, and then, you know, and then it goes on and on and on, and then last year, you had Charlotte and Ronda, you had Becky and Bianca. This year, yeah, they didn't have something like that this year, really. Again, like I said, the closest thing was Becky and Trish, and it's just, and it's not the same thing, again, for the reason I mentioned.
Yeah.
And that affected, to be perfectly honest, again, that affected just how much interest there was in the women's division in terms of just different things you can look at. And so they need to sustain this thing. They need those big feuds at the top. And so I think that's a reason why they committed to doing all these re-signings because yes, I mean, look, I get it. Like, people want more people to get opportunities and more people to get chances. Just the reality is, from a fan interest, when you look at the audience as a whole, not wrestling Twitter, the audience as a whole, the interest is very top heavy.
Yeah,
and there tends to be a pretty steep drop off. And so, look, you get the other girls in where you can. That's really all you can do. You get them in where you can, and you try to put them in the best spots possible to get some people to pay attention to them. But for the division to keep continuing to do well, they gotta it runs on those big matchups. You know, because look, we're talking about decades of the audience being inclined to just be more interested in men's wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's, we're talking decades of basically indoctrination almost.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Women's wrestling has always been like the sideshow to the sideshow. You know, it really has. You know,
yeah.
Wrestling is a carny act, and this is like not even like the bearded lady or the juggler. The women haven't, you know, been treated like that for decades. Now, you know, we're just all of a sudden supposed to pivot, and you know, you have to, again, I guess indoctrination, you have to retrain people.
A lot of the audience hasn't, yeah.
Right. You gotta retrain people. Like, look, women's wrestling is fucking important. It's important. These women are putting in just as hard a work as the men, and there's still, unfortunately, a pocket of guys out there who aren't ready to accept that.
Yeah, and the thing about it, it's kind of a catch 22 kind of thing, because in order to, you got to have some women who you can make into these super huge big deals in order just to get some people to pay attention in the first place. The downside to that is that there are all these super huge big deals, but the downside is you can't make 40 women into super huge big deals.
No,
you can't. It's just like, look, you can't make 60 men into super. You can't make 60 men into super huge big deals either. Okay,
right.
It's just that the difference is that, again, because we're talking decades of being told women's wrestling isn't that important. You know, Gunther versus Chad Gable will feel important to some folks, that, you know, the women's tag team title match that we had on Monday, they won't care about.
Right.
And that's a tough nut to crack. And, you know, it's, so for the sake of keeping the division rolling, yeah, I mean, you got to keep, I mean, the people who, the ones who you have been able to convince the audience are big deals and who are important, you got to keep them around, and you got to keep them where they are.
And hopefully in the next 5 years, they can rear the next generation of big deals.
Yeah. And that's, and yeah.
Cause they're going to be raising those girls. Cause I mean, you're looking at Becky is, you know, now on the other side of, you know, club, I think she's closer to 40 than 30.
Yeah.
You know, and Charlotte's what, 37?
Yeah. So I think Charlotte's 37, Becky's 36, Bayley's like 33, and Bianca's like 33. We keep forgetting.
Yeah.
That. So
we've got to be looking down at NXT at the Lash Legends and the Thea Hales and the Fallon Henleys and, you know, the other women down there who are under 30 who are going to have to carry this division.
Did you look at my watch? It's soon to be Tiffy time.
Oh, it is Tiffy time almost. Yes. Yeah, I forgot about Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
So it is these women. So yeah, you want to sign those girls and keep them long term so that they can groom the graduating class.
Yeah. And so, that's just the way it is, folks. That's the reality of the way women, look, that's the reality of women's wrestling, period. And no matter what company you're in, it's, all right, you have to convince, you know, you do your best to convince the audience that, you know, a certain number are big and important, so they'll pay attention to them. And you have to keep, you got to keep using, and that's just what it is. I don't know how that changes. But, you know, so that's why they've re-upped. That's why they've committed to re-up, because there are some people on Twitter who like think, well, it's time to move on.
No, you don't want to move on.
No, because if you moved on from all of them today, you know, if you told Becky, Charlotte, and Bailey, thanks, guys, it was fun, but, you know, we got to go younger now. If you told them that, yeah, you might think that'll work, but it won't.
That leaves you with literally two top stars in. You actually create a bigger problem because you create a vacuum. Because now you've got Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair and a whole lot of women who look less than.
Yeah. And it's, Yes, and that's real, and you gotta, you know. So that's just, I mean, that's the reality of it, and so that's what, look, that's why they resigned all of them. If they bring, if Mercedes does come back, that's why.
Yeah.
It's why they brought Ronda back, despite, you know, all of, you know, you guys is complaining and whatnot. They brought Ronda back for a reason, because when, even this year, when, you know, this year was definitely diminished capacity for Ronda in terms of her impact or whatever. But even this year, the people who worked with her got their biggest numbers, their biggest views or whatever of the year working with her.
Yeah.
Okay. So even this year. So yeah, you need them, okay? And look, if Nikki Bella wanted to come back and wrestle for another year, you better believe they'd bring her back for another year, okay? Even if it was just to do the Royal Rumble and, you know, the wacky tag team match at WrestleMania or something, okay? Because that's just what it is. I mean, and until, you know, again, and who knows when that actually changes? Who knows when two mid-card women in a mid-card match will get the same interest as two mid-card men in the same card in a mid-card match. We don't. That's, we're a long way from that being a thing.
Yeah,
I mean, Nikki Bella puts my wife's ass on a flight. So
yeah, hey.
I mean, that's. I mean, well, why they bring back Goldberg, right?
Yeah,
puts butts in the seat. There's a reason.
Yeah,
why they do this stuff. All right, well, gentlemen, I think we can actually call the go home there. We actually got a little bit of a later start. That was my fault. Well, maybe not my fault, but we got a later start. Jason?
I started it.
Jason started it, and I just kind of, you know, I was on the DWI podcast. If you want to listen to us, you can go over to the Chairshot Radio Network, chairshot.com. Look for that, DWI, me, myself, Tunney, AJ Belaz, and DPP were on there, did some trivia, had some fun chat about all the WWE releases from several months ago, whose 90-day clause is up today. I don't want to get down that road. I think we've had a great show tonight, guys.
I had a great time, fellas.
I did, too. It was good. And next week, we're going to try and do something a little bit different. We kicked around the idea of doing, like, an award show. I don't think we're going to do that. I think we're just going to do, like, an end-of-year retrospective. Look back at the year that was 2023. Pick out some high spots. Pick out some low spots. And, you know, just have a little bit of fun with that while we, you know, wrap up, you know, another year of doing this podcast and watching pro wrestling and WWE. And, you know, we'll have some fun with it and looking forward to some big things in the new year.
I imagine we'll do an impromptu award show for the big ones.
I think we will. It'll evolve and flow as it's meant to. It's a free flowing discussion, and you know, if we come in here with no agenda, sometimes I think those shows end up being better. Yes,
it's mindless.
It's mindless. It's absolutely mindless. We come in with no plan, and sometimes it ends up being better than if I write down a shitload of notes and say, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. And it's almost like talking about a match in the back, and then you get in the ring, and none of the shit you talked about in the back actually happens. So it's just how this show ends up sometimes.
You get in the ring, and Rob grabs a chair, and you're like, all right, I guess this is what we're doing.
Yep, we're doing this. Rob called a chair, and we're off to the races. All right. Again, you have been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. Whatever you celebrate, be safe, be happy, spend it with your loved ones, be good to each other. Going to wrap around the room here again. Thank my co-host from the Rob the Genius Podcast, Mr. Rob. Sir, I hope you have an awesome Christmas.
Thank you, and the same to you guys. And this was kind of a therapeutic session for me here, you know, given everything that happened the last couple of weeks.
Off your chest and he's feeling good. I feel good about that.
Yeah.
And look, I'll send you a bill for the copay.
It's more like an AA meeting. I just, as long as every week Rob comes back and Rob watched wrestling, I'm good.
You know what, that's fair.
So Rob, I'll see you next week.
Yes. And look all right. And I'm not going to bury the show, the you know, everyone else, you know, for the next 9 months. I promise I'm not going to do that. Okay.
Okay. We're going to make you have fun, sir.
we all buried Dragon Lee a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Now we're not going to do that again. Dragon Lee is perfectly fine on this
show
now.
We're joking, everybody. Exactly. Because he's not, at least he's not Commander, and he's not Gravity. Okay.
Oof. Those guys and are- moving on, Bucky's tag team partner Jason Sir. Thank you.
We're definitely gonna get a reputation. Thanks, guys.
We are, man. We are building a name for ourselves, and I'm not sure it's in a good way.
Look, that means we gotta find some white guys to bury, right? I mean, next just.
I can find a list in a hurry. I can find a list.
You want to talk about CM Punk? Fine, I'll fucking talk about CM Punk. Here we go.
And you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring. We're out of here till next week. Have an awesome holiday. We love you guys. Thanks for listening, and we're out.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.